test later. This is the Steve Gruber Show. It's a legal
matter, baby. A legal matter from now on. All right, so here's, get used to this. You're going to hear a lot about polling when it comes to gun rights, gun issues, gun bans, assault weapons, AR-15s. You're going to hear a lot of polling information coming from a variety of places. And I would say take most of the polling with a grain of salt. Here's why. Yesterday, for example, a CNN poll said that Donald Trump's support in America is 35%, lowest it's ever been. Find that hard to believe. And then Rasmussen has him at 49%. I think that's more likely. The point being is this polling can be manipulated in a variety of ways. The way the questions are written, the way the responses are accepted, can change the polling number and outcomes, and the headline is written by somebody else. So be careful of the polling numbers, but you're going to hear a lot about them. You're going to hear that, for example, 61% back AR-15 ban. That comes from a Harvard Caps Harris survey that just came out. You're also going to hear that 44% of Americans think it's okay for teachers to carry firearms. It might actually be higher and much higher in some places. But this debate is going to go on. My next guest, Emily Taylor, an independent program attorney with U.S. Law Shield. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, so the idea of arming teachers. My mother, no, I don't want her to have a gun in the classroom when she was a teacher. Did it for years. My grandmother, probably not. But many people in these schools who have CPLs to begin with, who have gone through some training, could go through extended training, don't need to be law enforcement individuals, but just think about the idea that if the football coaches that took all the bullets and saved the kids' lives and died themselves in Parkland, if they'd have been able to fire back once or twice, the outcome could have been greatly different. At least I think so. Emily, what your thoughts?
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, someone like, let's say myself, who just has, you know, I carry my gun every day. I go to the range at practice. I've got, you know, basic firearms training under my belt. Obviously, I am not as effective as someone with police or military training. But nevertheless, the reason that this is not the awful idea that everyone is making it out to be is that the studies have shown over and over and over that these active shooters, as soon as they are confronted with any resistance, not even necessarily effective resistance, they tend to turn their weapons on themselves almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so even a teacher with a firearm who is less effective than a member of military or law enforcement could still have the effect of stopping these incidences before they become the large-scale tragedies that we've seen.
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment. I'm going to pick on a couple of my friends who shall remain nameless, but I've hunted for pretty much my whole life, and I've watched many people I know that can shoot a gun or a bow and arrow or whatever it may be and hit paper 10 for 10 right in the 10 ring every time. But as soon as a deer steps out, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn at 10 feet. The situation is different between shooting paper and a real-world event is what I'm saying. And my concern would be to make sure that the training would be involved in that way, because we wouldn't want people that, you know, completely lose perspective and the ability to even aim their weapon, which I see people in the hunting world have happen all the time. I hope that wouldn't happen in a classroom. Do you understand my concern?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that that is a legitimate concern. But bear in mind that I don't think there's any proposal in this arena that would not involve an extensive amount of training for anyone who wanted to have their firearms with them while they were teaching at the school. And this training, I mean, virtually always includes real-life scenarios.
Well, but today, hold on, Emily.
Paper.
Yeah, hold on, because today we have 25 states that allow personnel, teachers, and staff members to carry in some fashion or another, to one extent or another. 25 different states already have that. And I don't believe we have that extensive training in all of those states. I'd have to check Texas and Kentucky and elsewhere to see what the guidelines, provision, and requirements are. But I think for most part, let's be honest, the notion that somehow that Jay Inslee of Washington, the governor, put out in his ridiculous comments yesterday that somehow we'd have to have these people trained at the military or the police academy for 6 months is ludicrous. It's asinine. But we do need more training, and I think it should be standardized. What do you think?
Well, I would agree with that. And, you know, I am from Texas. We have two provisions, one that arms teachers with written permission with the superintendent, the other an anonymous school marshals program, and those school marshals are heavily trained. before they can step inside those schools. So
no, and I understand the marshal situation. That it's not unlike an air marshal. The point being for me is, you look at schools like Dallas or Houston, Detroit, Los Angeles. They already have guns in the school because you already have officers and metal detectors and all of those things going on already. The problem that we face here are these smaller schools or rural schools like Pearl, Mississippi, that was the scene of a mass shooting years ago. You have to find a way that they can financially afford to protect the school, and the only way to do that, I believe, is with teachers and staff members. Go on.
Yes, and you know, I'm quite bothered by this notion that there's arming teachers doesn't have any, there's not going to be any effect, and how dare we even propose it, because we have no idea. I mean, it was after the Columbine massacre that we started really beefing up security at schools, that we started having these school resource officers in every district who could reasonably afford to have them, that we started putting metal detectors in some schools where it was needed. And there is no way to measure the deterrent effect of those actions, but I would wager that it has a huge deterrent effect.
So here's my bottom line question. Here's my bottom line question, and this will be your last question today. Is it a state-by-state issue, or is there something we should establish guidelines and parameters for at the federal level? I'll give you the last word.
I think it's a state issue, but I think that if there's something that federal money should be spent on, it's this, and that what Congress should be doing is legislating to provide budgetary resources for the state to engage in better school protection.
Emily, always a great conversation. I appreciate your time, always.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is the Fearless Pursuit of Truth, the Steve Gruber Show on a Tuesday. Glad to have you here. This hour brought to you in part by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy. Know your own power.